I'm thinking with you and your wife,
yeah,
that you were listening for sound waves, right? Sound waves come over. They hit you. The sound waves hit you in the head. When they hit you in the head, they carry a message, and the message that they carry, that's the real listening. I think that's called left brain listening. And then there's the right brain listening, which is you're looking at her face, you're hearing her breath, you're seeing the fact that she's sitting with you. And you could have been listening to all those other forms of communication.
That's right.
That were telling you she digs you.
Speaking of going, you're listening to Speaking of Going, a podcast about life, friendship, our hope, and how Christ's love compels us to go to forgotten communities around the globe. And because we've experienced Christ's love, we cannot help but speak about what we have seen and heard.
Hello, you're listening to Speaking of Going. My name is Ben, or Ban, depending on where you live in the country. And I'm a missionary who was formerly reluctant and now super motivated, not reluctant. We still haven't figured out the opposite word there. Happy and excited to be a missionary. Ooh. How's it going, Randy?
This is Randy or Randall, depending on where you're from in the world. If you're wondering why that is, it's because in the southern hemisphere, the term Randy has other connotations you can look up on the internet.
That's right, if you have the appropriate filters.
And I'm formerly an atheist and currently a missionary leader.
That's awesome. So you sent me a passage in Acts, and we've been going through it. This is actually part two of this awesome story. To me, one of my favorite stories. And it's from Acts chapter 8. So where are we?
So I think last week we talked about the way God spoke through an angel.
Oh, yeah.
And sort of
big and bold.
Told Philip to get up and go south. Mm-hmm. And so he did it. And then today we're starting out with, and the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join this chariot. And I was just thinking the spirit of Philip on the way there, like what was going on in his mind? And I think we concluded last time, and I still think it's true that probably he was listening and looking for the next communication. So I think this week we're just speaking of listening.
Speaking of listening, are you a good listener?
Ooh. It depends on the situation and the day of the week. So I've now been serving as the SEMUS president for about 9 months. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I discovered in the last week is that under stress, I talk. Mm. So I literally set up a meeting with 8 people because I wanted to sit down and hear their ideas and their passions and what they were going to do. And I had my notebook out and my pen in my hand, and the meeting started and we prayed, and then I started talking. And I have to say, I drew a pie chart on the board. I'm an engineer. I drew a pie graph on the board and I put some lines on it and I asked them some questions. And I bet at the end of that meeting, I had spoken about 82.74% of the words. And I came out of that meeting and I was reflecting on some other meetings and I thought, what is going on with you? And just sort of talking to God about it, but realizing that probably in the last month or maybe in the last 6 months, I don't know when it started, I've moved away from that listening posture into a speaking posture. And if you're the president of an organization, let me just tell you, people will act like they're interested. And you have to get used to the fact that you're not near as interesting as it seems you are.
Yeah. Do you think they were impressed?
I don't know if they were impressed, but I sure was not. So, I kind of doubt they were. Actually, I got one really gracious email from someone afterwards. Mm-hmm. And the gracious email was talking about how they really appreciated my energy and my passion and this... the way it came across, and they were motivated and they're all in. Mm-hmm. And then they also said, I was sort of expecting a chance to express myself.
Oh,
so that also
chatty.
that also helped me to see that. But you know, that's the reality. I remember. I still have to go back to March when I was installed and called to this position, and remembering that I knew at that moment in time that I was not ever going to be qualified for this job, and that my only hope of success was that somehow God was going to bless me, that somehow God was going to use me in all my weakness. So part of my weakness is I need to learn to be in a listening posture, even under stress.
Yeah, it's pretty cool that someone can actually send you an email and share that they would have liked to express themselves, and for you to read into that, that you were talking too much.
Well,
that's pretty unique.
I just thank God for the people I work with. It's a SimUSA has what we are is a band of about 75 households that invites our friends and family to financially support us so that we can send missionaries without putting the burden of without putting our financial burden onto the missionaries we send. So our missionaries, on average, the admin fees are less than 6%. I think that's amazing. We charge less than 6%. And that's because we're a little band of brothers that does this. And so these godly people that I work with, they've been doing this for years, and they've seen chumps like me come and go. and they just love me. They support me. They help me. And it's just a beautiful thing.
That's cool. I'm hoping to learn a lot today because I'm not a good listener. Actually, it depends on who's in front of me. Like, I can engage people in a decently deep conversation, but I don't often hear their words. I'm kind of sometimes thinking over them and thinking about what I'm going to say next and what I'd like to say. And so sometimes I can pretend to be listening. I married a good listener, though. When my wife and I first started dating, actually, it's interesting. When we first started dating, she didn't say anything. Like, she was very quiet, extremely quiet. And it really bothered me, and I thought something was wrong with her. So I tried to fix that. And there was actually a point in our relationship where it was like, this probably isn't going to work. And I just thought she didn't like me. She wasn't saying anything. And I look, now she tells the story. She was like, why did you not ask me out for the 3 months that we hung out? And I was like, oh yeah, I was busy talking, trying to get you to talk. And it never occurred to me that, you know, spending 3 months with someone, you know, probably we were in college, so we would hang out probably 3 or 4 days a week, 3 or 4 nights a week or something like that. And it just never occurred to me that, you know, you sitting down and watching Popeye with me or something stupid on the television meant that you actually liked me. So it's not something I get to claim that I'm good at. But anyway, speaking of listening, Philip seems to be a decent listener.
I mean, I'm just connecting what's written here about Philip and what you just said about your wife and about you. And one of the things I see here, it says, you know, Philip, he's just walked south all this ways. And it says, and the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join this chariot. Mm-hmm. And we happen to know that there's an Ethiopian eunuch in that chariot, but the circumstances there are central to the Spirit's speaking. So that Philip is in a set of circumstance where he's listening to more than the unction or the inner voice or whatever, however it is that the Spirit said this to him. That Philip is also listening to his circumstances, right? He's seeing the chariot. He's seeing the stuff around him. And when the Holy Spirit speaks to him, it's in the context of a real-world situation.
So he's not just listening to the Spirit.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it. And so I'm thinking with you and your wife that you were listening for sound waves, right? Sound waves come over. They hit you. The sound waves hit you in the head. When they hit you in the head, they carry a message, and the message that they carry, that's the real listening. I think that's called left brain listening. And then there's the right brain listening, which is you're looking at her face, you're hearing her breath, you're seeing the fact that she's sitting with you. And you could have been listening to all those other forms of communication.
That's right.
That were telling you she digs you.
Missed opportunity. You know, and a couple people had tried to already ask her out. And I mean, they were more on the ball than me. And she rejected them. And I still didn't get a clue. Isn't that funny?
Yeah. So let's try to categorize in this little section here all the ways that God, through the circumstances, spoke to Philip. So one of them was God brought him to the place where he would see the chariot. So one of them was through the chariot that he saw. Yeah. One of them was through a spirit, I guess, the Holy Spirit, I presume, that said to Philip, go over and join this chariot. Let's talk about that a little bit. Has the Holy Spirit ever said anything to you?
I mean, we've talked about this, especially in part one, maybe a little bit, but the idea of like an impression. But words, you know, I'm trying to think. I've only really just felt an urgency and a really felt impression to do something. What about you?
I mean, it's, I guess I don't know what it was like in this case. So do we think that the Holy Spirit, do you think there was sound waves involved when the Holy Spirit said this to Philip? In other words, do we think that there was vibrations in the air that came to his ear that transmitted to his head so that he heard that as a physical sound, or do we think that was an inner voice?
Yeah, I think it could be either or. That's just a personal opinion. I mean, I'm not an expert.
If I had to put my money on something, I would say it was an inner voice.
Yeah, I mean, if I was sharing like what I just described, an impression or inner voice, as you say, like to other people, I would say the Holy Spirit said this. Like I would say it, I would tell others that what God is doing through me is that he's speaking to me.
Yeah. So I think there's another passage that's in the book of Acts where it's described as it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us.
Yeah.
Where that's how they describe the way that they interacted with the Spirit was it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us that there was an impression. So I don't know what it was in this case, but in my own experience, when the Holy Spirit speaks to me, I think it's usually that there's some circumstance that's going on around me. Mm-hmm. And when I see it, the Holy Spirit somehow lets me know what I should do next.
Do you have like an example?
Let's see. When I was serving in Central Asia one time, I was on a bus. And I was going out. The place where I was, it wasn't really legal for people to become Christian. And I was sitting on the bus, and there was a guy on the bus that was, I don't know, he just kind of looked fishy to me. Like there was something in me that said, maybe that guy doesn't belong here. And so the bus stopped. And I guess it was the Holy Spirit that said, get off the bus and buy a bottle of water, or get up and get off the bus. And my plan was in my mind was to get up and get off the bus, buy a bottle of water. And if he followed me, to get on the next, and then get back on the next bus going the same way. And if the dude followed me off the bus and back on the bus again, then I would know. And I wouldn't go where I was planning to go. So that was my plan. And so I got up like I was going to get off the bus. And then he got up and it was like the Holy Spirit said to me, this guy's no good. And so I got up, I was going to get off the bus, the door opened and he came up and so then I sort of waved my hand like, you go first. And so then he got off in front of me where I was going to get off. And then I didn't get off. I just stopped and the door shut and I looked out the window and the dude was like looking up at the bus and you could just see that he was panic stricken because he had lost his tail. And And then I lost my mind and I waved at him. So then I'm sitting there and I'm like, okay, this is a real problem, because now it's like I'm a spy and I'm not a spy. I just had this
feeling. You're just good at evading police and undercover police. No big deal.
So then I picked up my cell phone. This was in the flip phone, razor phone days. I picked up my flip phone and I opened it and I called Robin and I said, Robin, there was this guy in the bus that I think was really trying to hurt me, and I've managed to elude him. But do you think I should call the police? And she said, no, I don't think you need to call the police. So she knew what I was doing there, but it was... Mm-hmm. But it did, there was a sense in which something in that circumstance, it wasn't just the circumstance, but like the Holy Spirit, I think, kind of warned me that there's something in this guy that you need to take action on. And so that standing up and going to the door and letting him go by, I think that was the Holy Spirit that said that to me.
Yeah, I wonder what your position was mentally or in your heart to be able to receive that. Because to me, I could imagine myself just sitting completely unaware and aloof, not present, not aware of my surroundings, thinking about where I'm going, what I'm going to do next.
That's an interesting question. So
you seem comfortable on this bus. I don't know, maybe not.
Well, I mean, I had anxiety because I was going to this new friend of mine that had just believed in Jesus 2 weeks before, and I was going to visit him at his house for the first time, and so it was like I was feeling unsettled and cautious, and not sure of myself, and that lack of certainty, I think, had me more aware of my surroundings and more ready to respond to a prompting. I think there is something in that lack of certainty that maybe did, and I wasn't looking for that specific thing, but I was looking for some kind of leadership, and I just wasn't sure if I should go to my friend's house or not. And I mean, maybe that was an angel for all I know, because it might be that people were at his house watching his house. So I didn't go to his house because of that incident. I didn't go to his house. And so maybe that was actually an angel and not a government agent. And the angel was just doing what he needed to do to combine with what the Spirit's doing so that I wouldn't go there. I don't know. But I do know that there was something really special about that interaction that redirected my steps that day.
I wonder if it's just you were in a position of needing to trust in God. So it's like your listening was enabled because you were in a place where you really needed to trust God and be dependent on Him. Ooh. I don't know. I'm kind of thinking a bit too into your story, but I've been in similar positions, maybe not that intense.
But
in a similar area, and I've sensed that where I've needed to really like depend on God, and so somehow I was more open. My ears were a bit more open. My eyes were a bit more open.
I mean,
a bit aware.
Your counseling services are taking me to circling back to the opening of our discussion, right? When I was talking about how I'm in this meeting, and I just speak almost all the words when I'm intending to listen. As I've been diagnosing my heart, I realized that on March 1st, when I took this job, I was a really good listener. And I think the reason was because that I was conscious of my lack of qualification to do the work. And between March 1st and November 1st, I've gained a lot of confidence, and I imagine I'm the right person for the job, maybe. Like, I was made for this. And, you know, because I was made for this, then I can just give all the wisdom that I have to everyone else. And what I've been sort of diagnosing in my heart is I need to return to that learner's posture. to that assumption that I actually don't know the answers, to that confidence that I'll never be adequate to really understand the situation fully unless God's involved. And so I think on the bus that day, I was very conscious that I was inadequate to the task and that without God's guidance, I couldn't succeed.
Yeah.
Have you ever considered becoming a cross-cultural worker? Convinced that no one should live and die without hearing God's good news, we believe that He has called us to make disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ in communities where He is least known. Visit us at simusa.org/connect to talk to someone about serving in mission. This has been an SIM USA production.